Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by Eyewash.
In collaboration with Lansing Community College.
And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome back to Coach Cuts Corner. Today we've got a special guest, sophomore utility player Bryce Wiggins. Bryce has been a spark for our program here at Lansing, a guy who can do a little bit of everything on the field. Last season he played in nearly 50 games, got on base at a high clip, and believe it or not, he led the country in being hit by pitches. But behind those stats is a story of grit, versatility, faith, and family. Today, we're going to delve into his journey and what's next for him. Let's get after it. Bryce, welcome to the studios.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Coach.
First time in here, and hopefully you're enjoying your time, and I appreciate you coming in. Bryce, take us back. What was baseball like growing up in Novi? And how did your time at Walled Lake, Western, and travel ball shape you, you know, before you got here?
Oh, man. So growing up in Novi, baseball was humbling. It was fun, humbling, great experience.
Humbling because?
You know, just like always wasn't the guy. I feel like I've never been like the best on every team I've been on. I've always had to work for everything I've achieved. Even to this day, I was always underlooked because I do have an older brother that was really great.
Okay.
Really great player coming up in Novi, and he was always looked at. I was just always looked at as his younger brother. So it just made me kind of realize, like, I have to just be a little better, work a little harder, give a little bit more.
Sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do, even if you know that's what it is or what the road looks like for you, because there's a piece of it that you're constantly like, well, why me? Yeah. Why don't I have this? You know, so that's where some things go. Did you play other sports when you were younger?
Yes, I played AU basketball and a little bit of football.
All right. Which one were you better at?
You know, my parents really didn't push so much for football, more so basketball. They wanted me to stay like being an athlete and everything, but
football because of like the contact, the injuries,
a lot of contact,
you know,
yes,
that
and
kind
the
of
injuries
stuff.
Like my dad went through from football. He didn't want like us going through them.
Okay. So your dad had played football, yes. Experienced some of the injuries, which I think most football players do.
Yes.
And they felt like maybe basketball was something that could help, you know, round out the athleticism, even though you run a ton in basketball and in baseball, you just don't run as much. Sometimes we do in the fall. But any youth memories that stand out from playing sports?
I'll probably say my first time, like, hitting a home run when I was younger.
Okay. Did you get the ball?
Yes, I remember getting the ball. My dad sprinted to the, he was recording and like had the phone and was sprinting around the gate while he was recording.
Breathing heavy and everything.
Breathing heavy, yep. Going to get the ball. That was probably my favorite memory.
What about travel ball?
Travel ball.
Did you start playing at a young age?
Travel ball probably started about 10, 11 U.
Okay.
Probably started traveling a little more, but my favorite travel ball experience was probably more so recent. 17U when I was playing for Philly Scout America. All our games were pretty much like had a lot of people there. We had a couple of games on YouTube. I don't know if you know the channel Youth Prospects. Okay. They record like travel ball down south. A couple of our games had about 280,000 views, and it was crazy because we got out of a game and it was a highly scouted game at the WBA in Georgia. A couple of kids came up to me and they were like, we saw you on Youth Prospects, and I didn't see the video. Mm-hmm. And they asked me for a picture, and I was with my mom, my dad, my older sister walking out, and it was just like shocking. Mm-hmm. It was nothing I'd ever seen anything before.
Yeah, and you felt important.
Exactly.
And that's a great feeling.
Exactly.
So were you on some pretty solid you know, travel ball teams when you were younger, or just as you got, you know, 17? You,
when I was younger, I played on the Detroit Raiders for about 2 or 3 years, and okay. we were pretty solid. We won almost every tournament we got into. Really? It was just bang bang.
You know, we have a player on our team that was on an AU nationally ranked team. Do you know that?
Carson Sweet.
Yeah, pretty incredible.
Carson Sweet.
You've always been a versatile guy, playing multiple positions. When did you first embrace being a utility player, especially in today's age where so many people try to, not everybody, but so many people try to, you know, hone in on, you know, I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be a pitcher, or I'm going to be a shortstop, or, you know, that a catcher, you know. When did you start embracing the utility piece?
I would say last year when I got here. Okay. Well, actually, let me rephrase. My senior year of high school, I played shortstop for my high school, and my coach had always told me, he was like, you don't want to play center, like you never want to play anywhere else. And I was just like so stuck on always wanting to be a shortstop or be in the, somewhere in the infield. Okay. And when I arrived here last fall, I was seeing like the infield. I was like, okay, because I'm thinking I have to get on the field. In what ways can I like best be on the field and help our team?
Which is normal. I mean, you arrive to a program, you have fresh eyes, and you start looking around, and you're seeing guys' sizes and strengths and, of course, weaknesses and everything. And you're trying to figure out, like, where do I fit in? We've talked about this a lot.
Exactly. And I was just like, I don't think I would play here in the infield. That's just nothing that I would do. Like, we have great infielders that have experience, know the game, they play it fast. I don't think I can, like, do it. But so I was just like, one day I was just like, let me try outfield. And then I was out there with Ryan. He's like, I would say he mentored me a lot, taught me so much about the outfield. And
still
I just
teaching. He's still coaching here.
Still teaching me, even to this day. He taught me just a lot, how to read the ball, what balls I should be trying to come in on, how I should like, how my feet, how I should be positioned on what batters, what pitches. And it really just helped me. I knew I had the athleticism. I just needed the more like the
refinement.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, baseball's never just about the player or never just about the person. The game's always bigger, you know. It's always bigger, and I say things that, like, the game knows. It just kind of knows.
It does.
What I'm trying to get at is it's about the people around them. Who has been the biggest influence in your baseball journey?
It would for sure have to be my parents. My parents have supported all my decisions, everything I've done for baseball, all the traveling, going, driving 8 hours to Georgia, 9 hours to Alabama. Like, my parents were just, they never had a problem, just wanted to let me get a great experience for it. And my dad, man, my dad's my everything. It's my best friend. Every morning, he sends me something to just motivate me, tell me that I could be better, tell me this, like that I'm like doing a great job, and I just got to keep working and just keep trusting everything that I'm doing and just stay on track.
That's powerful. That's great stuff. Are they hard on you, though?
I wouldn't necessarily say they were hard on me, but they just, it's like a standard of what
higher
they expect
expectations.
From me. Yes.
Yeah. Did you always know that your parents knew the best route? Did you always agree with it? Everything? No. How come?
I don't know. Some things I was just like a little hesitant to like believe in, but or like trust in. Some, like with working out with my dad, I didn't realize that certain factors of what I need to do, like him being a big thing, like his hips, core was a big thing for him, and he wanted me to strengthen it. And I didn't realize that. And when I was younger, I was just like, no, I just got to bench. I got to just squat.
I want the biceps.
And I did that. I got faster, stronger. I can rotate better, everything. And it's just, once I realized that, I was like, okay, because I started for real getting serious with my training my freshman year. And then when I went to my sophomore year, the jump I made starting on varsity, it was crazy. And I just like, I got to listen to my dad. Everything my dad says.
Sky's the limit. Yeah. Do you have a favorite memory with your family around baseball? You know, tons of road trips, tons of tournaments, or any moments that still sticks with you?
It's got to be the car rides. We didn't drive to every single one that was down south, but it was just so much fun being in the car, just laughing, cracking jokes, or just falling asleep, taking pictures while people are asleep, and then, like, getting there. Just, it was just, I would say the car rides were like the most memorable part. We'd all be singing, have a little karaoke. That was the best time.
All right. So in high school, you started realizing you're making these jumps. When did you realize that you were like, I think I want to play college baseball? Where was that pivotal moment at?
I feel like that's always been a thing for me. I knew baseball was the sport I wanted to do and just something I was really like solid in. I'd say probably like seventh grade, I realized I could play college baseball.
When did you know what it was going to take?
Probably my sophomore to junior year. Sophomore, because I actually committed to the University of Mount St. Mary's when I was a junior in high school. The first recruiting date, I think it was like September 1st. That was when I actually first committed. And when I realized like, oh, wow, like these guys are really good, after seeing my visit, I was like, I need like to pick it up a little bit more.
Okay. So you commit as a junior.
Yes.
Then what?
It got till about, I would say I committed in September. I decommitted in probably like April, right when the high school season was starting. I've been hearing some stuff about the coach leaving or some certain things like that. And that just, I got a little bit more buzz. And I would say I was starting to feel myself a little bit, start talking to other schools, bigger schools. Like, and that's no disrespect to them. It's just how it is. And I was just like, Maryland, that was like drive 8-9 hours. I was like, can I really do this being this far from home my first year? And I was just like, talk to my family. And it's just like, it's not the right decision for me right now.
So then after you decommitted, what happened?
I decommitted, talked to the coach, told him like this wasn't for me, that place wasn't for me, and that I appreciate everything they've done for me, appreciate the offer they gave me and believing in me to be able to play college baseball at the level. You know, went into summer ball, started talking to a couple schools, playing summer ball games, really just living in the moment. I really wasn't thinking so far ahead. It was just taking it day by day type of thing.
How'd you end up at LCC?
Oh, man. So LCC, I always knew what LCC was and that it was a great program over here. I first heard about it when I was in eighth grade from Bobby Cavan. He was my 14-year assistant coach.
Legacy.
Bobby Cavan. He was saying, I think he was playing here at that time.
Probably.
He was probably playing here. And he was just saying, like, I'm at LCC and it's like, it's a great program and that if you guys ever want to go JUCO, like this is the place to be. But at that time, you know, kid, JUCO wasn't as known or talked about. So I was thinking, man, I'm not going JUCO. And then got to my senior year, realized like 4 year wasn't the great, like greatest opportunity for me. Like D1 wasn't the best opportunity for me and that I needed to develop. Like, and that's all it is. I just have to get better. And I've been talking to Amir Mitchell. He was on the team last year, and he had told me, he was just like, this is the best place to be. He was like, the training's serious. We practice every day. Like, you're going to develop some way, somehow. You will develop, and you'll know your weaknesses, and it will get you prepared to move on. And I came on my visit, talked to Coach Ma, and me and my dad walked in. He was like, this is where you need to be, after he got in the car and left. And I was like, that's where I'm coming.
Pretty cool. Any huge differences between high school and JUCO your freshman year when you start looking at stuff?
I would say the biggest difference for me was the game is just quicker. Like everything happens a little faster. You got to think a little faster. And I would say there's more attention to detail. There's like the small things matter even more. Like things I get away with in high school doesn't play at college. Wouldn't get away with it.
Yeah. JUCO baseball is not as great unknown that it used to be. But it's still looked at as like, maybe I don't want to go JUCO baseball. And I'm not saying this is across the board by any stretch. Every kid has Division I dreams, that, you know, as they're going through high school. But then sometimes they realize, for whatever it might be, they don't want to sit, you know, as a freshman or a sophomore behind a junior or senior. They want to be able to get that time. And everybody talks about development. And of course, that's super important. But also playing is really important to that development. You've got to be able to have some feedback. Yes. If you're just training, and you're not playing, you're not getting the feedback of what you're doing in competition.
Yes.
How you're reacting to pressure, how you're adapting to pitchers or hitters or, you know, that kind of stuff. So playing is really important. And that's one of the beautiful things about junior college baseball is, you can go to a junior college and you'll have a great opportunity of playing, and you'll also have a great opportunity of developing. And that's something that is a huge benefit for the JUCO baseball. What's something that you've learned here? Not so much about the game, because you talked about like the speed of it and stuff like that, but about yourself.
Oh, man, I would say about myself is that I kind of learned I got to see things from other people's point of view. And because last year, I feel like I came in, like, I was more of a, we've talked about this, I was more so a complainer, and I didn't like certain things of how it was ran. And I realized it's not about me. There's 50 guys here. It's about the team and the process of the program, and it's not going to change for one guy. I got to fall in or fall out. And I realized that I just had to grow and do as a person and a human being.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you say we've talked about this, and as you're sitting in the WLNZ studios, I'm certainly thinking about, you know, reflecting back on your journey here. And there's a lot of steps that are still in moments and, you know, special things that are yet to come. But I think back to like first couple weeks of MTNC, your freshman year, thinking like I'm looking at you, I'm watching you. It had nothing to do with ability. Of course, MTNC is really not a physical event. It's a mental event. You know, you guys learn that through process and stuff. But, you know, I was thinking, man, I don't know if he's going to make it. You know, I'm not sure if he's going to make it. And that's the beauty of coaching, is if you can keep yourself from putting people in boxes, you can have those thoughts, but you don't end up putting them in a box. That's the true beauty of it, because you can see the maturation process happen. And it doesn't mean that you come out of it and you're just perfect, because none of us are, but mm-hmm. you can see growth, and you can pretty soon, I'm looking at you in October or November, and I'm seeing more positive stuff. I'm seeing the maturation process. And then pretty soon you end up being one of our two freshmen that, you know, end up playing in a lot of games on a really solid, you know, baseball team last year. And I definitely reflected on that a lot, because it's like, I don't know if he's going to make it those first couple of weeks. So that's, I love that. And I love what you've done. Now, you led the region. You broke the school record with 28 hit by pitches last season. It was insane to watch it. It was absolutely insane to watch it from the dugout. Fast forward a little bit, we're in our fall season right now, and we've played like, I think, four games, and you've been hit a lot already again. And a lot of people will be like, well, he stands on top of the plate, which is not true at all. You've got some ball magnets in your jersey. That's the that's the true story. But what, I mean, has that been something that's been happening since you've been playing baseball?
No, it just started as I got to college.
So what was going through your head when all that was happening? Because of course we promote, yeah, get on base. That's the time that you can do damage. You can steal bases. You can score runs. You know, it's super important to be able to get on base. And you're just getting hit left and right.
So basically, when it first started, I was just like, I didn't think anything of it. And I was just like, all right, like I got hit a couple of times. But then I really started thinking about it when we got into our spring season against Kellogg. I got hit 5 times in one game. And it was like, it was just like, wow, like how does this work? Like, I keep getting hit. But at the same time, it was a bit annoying. But in a way, I was like, got to get on base for my team. This is me playing in my role. And if that's me getting hit by pitch, get on base to get moved over, that works. Help us score runs, help us win ball games. So that was like a big thing for me. I was just trying to just fit in my role the best I could.
It's a great attitude, but it still hurts at times.
Oh, it still hurts. Oh, I would get home from games and be swelled up, bruised up, and just lay down.
And I'm still questioning, how does this happen? It's pretty wild. When you know, we talked about last season a little bit. Really special team, a lot of great things. When you look back at last season, what game or moment sticks with you most?
It was a lot of great moments last year, honestly. But my favorite was probably my like hottest moment of the season last year was when we played against Macomb and hit my first ever collegiate home run at Muni, right over the left field wall. And it was just, I heard the going like a freight train when I was rounding the bases. And I was just like, there's no way I actually hit a home run. Because like, that's just not me as a player. Like, I'm a big singles type of guy. And hit a home run, I was like, wow. Like, and just seeing everybody on the like sideline happy for me, it was really exciting.
You're more than just a big singles guy. You're a guy that gets on base a lot. And that's a super great attribute to have. I also saw you hit a home run in fall at Oakland, too. And we're like, whoa, there's Bryce. You've also been known to bring great energy to the field and to the dugout. sometimes it's making plays, sometimes it's other people making plays, flashing that contagious smile that you have. Where's that energy come from?
I would say it just comes from like who I am as a person. I love seeing like being a part of great teams and just seeing us all like come together and just cherish our moments and time together. Because now that I think back like to last year, we've talked a little bit about last year, that team last year, every day I still think about that team last year. I still keep up with some of those guys. Those moments and the energy and the bond we had is just something that like you just can't like just put together. It's something that just naturally comes
special.
Together. I feel like, especially, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. That's usually a big piece of what ties, you know, all that together. But that's the beauty of playing a collegiate sport. You end up with these memories and relationships that you never really let go of. And pretty soon you're, you know, 5 years in and you're still talking about Bobby Cavan. Your social media bio says God-fearing. Can you talk about your faith and how it plays a role in your approach to life and baseball?
I would say my faith in Jesus Christ is everything. I say I'm nothing without Jesus Christ, and that I'm a Christian that plays baseball, not a baseball player that's a Christian. I say everything I do is faith related. Like when I walk on the field for every game, taking my position, I look up in the sky and just thank God for letting me be here, be healthy enough to just be out here. And I know that my abilities are God-given and God wants me to show who I am through this sport.
How does that mindset help you deal with the ups and downs that come inevitably with this game?
I would say a big thing for that is like just going back to my Bible, praying, reading. I ask my dad a lot of questions. We talk a lot about, because obviously I'm living in a Christian-related household. So we talk a lot about like why I'm going through these ups and downs, what God is trying to lead me through to get me to understand certain things. And I just always just like remember, I got to trust him. I got to trust in my Lord and Savior.
I think in our program, we talk about a lot about how important and impactful the belief system in general is. And the belief system is so impactful in a sport like baseball, where you end up questioning your ability at different times just based off of the results you're getting. You end up questioning things like your path and, you know, you're looking at other people, whatever they're doing, you know, that constantly. So the belief system is super important. You're still uncommitted right now. What are you looking for in the next step, whether that's a 4-year school or even beyond? What are you looking for?
I would say I have now realized I know the type of coach I like. I don't like a coach just like screaming or yelling, but a coach that gives you time, lets you do you, but then like brings you back to reality, like as in a coach. And like for a team standpoint, I'm just trying to go somewhere and compete wherever it is. I just want to compete to the best of my abilities.
I'm sorry, that's not the type of coach I am. So hopefully you find a better one at the next level. When you think about your future in baseball, what's the vision you're chasing for the future in baseball?
Obviously, I have aspirations to play and get drafted one day. But I would say my future in baseball is just taking as far as I can keep playing and just trying to help the younger generation, teaching them things I didn't get taught at such a young age. Yeah.
You speak about helping the younger generation. Just about a month ago or so, you ran a youth camp. You want to talk about that real quick?
So, yes, I had a Bryce Wiggins youth camp. Me and my dad have been talking about this for probably about 5 years now. He said, first year of college, summer, we're doing a camp. The camp was fun. It was a great time seeing younger kids out there just having a great time, learning different things about baseball. Had a couple former stars help out with that. Went great. It was smooth, and it's something I'll for sure be doing again next summer.
Well, keep dreaming, keep giving, and keep living. Bryce Wiggins, sophomore utility man, competitor at the plate, and someone who's not afraid to take one for the team. His journey is fueled by family, faith, and relentless drive to make an impact. Bryce, thanks for joining us today. And to our listeners, make winning in life your habit, not your goal. Excellence isn't an outcome. It's a daily standard. Keep stacking bricks and go Stars.
I appreciate you for having me.
Go, go, Coach Cuts Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.